It's Monday night voiceover body shop, and we have a great guest tonight. I say that every week because every week we have a great guest, and this is going to be the best show this
ever.
Week.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, yes. Sarah Jane Sherman. She's so much wanted to come back on our show. She actually traveled here from Glendale, and she'll be with us. She's an animation casting director and coach. And just a cool lady all around.
I heard she's a gatekeeper, actually. She used those words, and that's a bigger deal than everything else we've said so far.
All right, and we got a couple of tech questions and lots of other fun stuff, so stay tuned. Voiceover Body Shop is coming up now.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere, together in one place. George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, the superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is Voiceover Body Shop.
Voiceover Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Ants Land Productions, where you can get a killer demo. Source Elements, who bring you Source Connect, Source Connect Live, and Source Connect Now. VoiceOver Extra, your one-stop site for voiceover resources. Vizzy Demos, your audio demo never looked so good. VO2GoGo.com, announcing camera-ready you. VoiceOverView.com, your voiceover business made simple. And the VO Dojo, take your voiceover career all the way.
And now, live from their super-secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS.
All right.
Okay. Another Monday night, another VoiceOver Body Shop, here to help everybody make their voiceover career that much better.
That's right. We're here to help you guys up the ladder.
That's right.
Let's make it happen.
The rising tide floats all boats.
Yeah, yes.
All right. Well, we went on a talk at the off the top of the show here, the passing of June Foray this week.
Oh, yeah.
You got to meet her personally.
She was 99. She was 2 months away from her
100th birthday.
100th birthday.
Wow. Talk about a life well lived.
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, we both got to meet her, me physically, because yeah. She came to my house to be on our show years ago.
Yeah.
Episode 50 of EWABS. If anybody wants to go find that, you can just type EWABS 50 and you'll find
her. We had a great time with her, too. She was just delightful. So
she really was.
Yeah. Our condolences actually to almost everybody in the animation world, because everybody who worked with her, she was close to. And
everybody did work with her.
That's true.
That's the thing. If they've been in animation for more than 10 years, they probably worked with her at some point. She signed, there's some crazy stories, like she signed more SAG contracts than any living actor. I mean, and she's done so much work, people are still figuring out stuff that she was on they didn't know about.
Wow.
And I was on CBSN just watching the news online, and they did a whole story about her too. So her story was not just in the voiceover community, it was all over the place.
Yeah.
Everybody thought of her.
Yeah. So a great one is gone.
Yeah. But there's... She led an awesome life.
She did.
Oh,
she
man.
Yeah, to live to 99.
And worked pretty much all the way to the end, from my understanding.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So cool.
Well, we were without air conditioning for a week in the Leonard household.
Oh, that's not so bad. It's only July in the Valley.
No, it was like sitting on a corner in the Bronx. You know, we're sitting there wearing, you know, t-shirts and going, I'm going to kill you!
The mood was getting sour.
The bullets were flying. Yeah, it was kind of bad. But but Andrew, if you can pull up that picture of how we finally solved it. There we go. That's what it takes to replace an air conditioner in Southern California.
A crane.
A crane, yes.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Is the thing on your roof?
It's
mounted up on the
it's
roof.
It's mounted on the roof, yeah. Yeah. But in a couple of weeks, we're going solar.
No kidding.
So the hottest part of the day, the sun, which heats our house, will also be cooling our house.
That is the way to go. What company are you using?
Can I give them a plug?
Well, why not?
Easy Energy over on Magnolia. Energy? Yeah. Okay. Great guys. Great guys. Shlomi.
All right.
Guess where he's from. Okay. Anyway, it's now time for...
And now, the voiceover extra, VOBS News. The latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news. Brought to you live.
Alrighty, for July 31st, yes, it's the end of July. What's your vacation mode? Summer. Are you too busy to get away? Or can you get away but not get your mind off business, even if you don't bring the microphone? Well, two articles now at voiceoverextra.com can help you with either of those dilemmas. Let's start with an overload of business that is keeping you in the recording booth and silently screaming that you need a break. Voice specialist Ann Utterbeck has two ways to goof off and refresh. One, meditate. Yeah, right, nothing new there. And if you've tried it, but you can't focus to make meditation work for you, here are two apps to instill some discipline. Headspace.com trains you to meditate in a fun 10 days, says Ann. There are short 3-minute sessions that will make meditation seem easy. Also, check out Calm.com for a free app with a clever breath exercise. Now, in this exercise, you set the pace of breathing and follow a graphic that includes a short period of holding your breath between intakes of air. Anne mentions that yogis have used this pattern of breathing for centuries. Or simply empty your mind, not a problem, and then fill it with thoughts of relaxation. Put yourself back into an enjoyable event and relive it in your mind. Okay, now what if you're the type A VO who can get away, but who can't shut your mind to business? Natasha Marchukwa, a longtime VO pro and big voiceover body shop fan, is in your corner. Natasha writes that when on vacation and her family turns to gadgets and games, she retreats to brainstorm about things like redefining goals, creating action plans, and setting schedules for the months ahead. And when that's done, she'll power up the laptop to do what she calls productive but brainless tasks, like organizing and cleaning up computer files and emails and databases and all that. Oh, and she'll write a to-do list for when she gets back home. You might think that's a yucky way to relax, but Natasha says that getting organized is an obsession for her. So for Natasha, being organized allows some peace of mind. Well, we say whatever floats your boat, go for it. These articles and hundreds more await you now at voiceoverextra.com, your daily resource for voiceover success.
Beautiful.
Yes. So
I'll say clearing your head is not quite as simple as it sounds. It is like I've done meditation over the years and I have found it beneficial, but it's a challenge. Once you get good at it, though, you can do stuff like meditating on the street.
Just don't do it while you're
downtown
driving.
Downtown LA.
Yeah.
I've actually done that. Public displays of meditation. I've actually done that. I know. Extreme meditation. Whoa. I checked the news and what tech news is out there. There's not a lot of really exciting stuff for the technology and technology right now, but I always love talking about headphones and monitoring. There is a good deal in headphones right now. If you love great, super comfortable headphones that completely cover the ears and don't touch any part of your outer ear or the pinna. Isn't that what they call that? I'm very picky about headphones that touch my outer ear. They drive me crazy. And if you like headphones that are super cozy and comfortable, there's some pretty good deals on the Beyerdynamic DT770 Pro headphones, which are the ones that I use at home.
That's right.
Those are my favorites.
The gray pads on them.
I discovered those when I was doing radio way back in the day. I was in New York City, and I wandered into B&H, and they had the huge headphone display. And those are the ones I put on my head, and I fell in love. The thing about them is that they are closed back headphones, sealed closed back headphones, much like the Harlan Hogan cans are closed back. And I have found that voice actors are averse oftentimes to wearing headphones while they're voice acting. But I think it might be because a lot of times the headphones voice actors are using are closed back headphones. They're sealed. They seal very tightly.
Right. So you're getting the acoustics inside your head as opposed to the environment you're talking.
Yeah, yeah. Even if you are piping your own voice into your cans, which is some say is a really bad idea, you're hearing your voice in the head like I am right now. I'm listening to myself talking in my headphones, and I'm also hearing the sound of my voice resonating through my jaw and my skull. It's a very strange version of what you really sound like. So my idea is that perhaps if you really do need to hear monitoring while you're recording because you're hearing direction, phone patch, source connect, IPTL.
That's the only reason you would be wearing headphones.
That should be the only real reason to be wearing headphones. And maybe to choose a different type of headphone than a closed back headphone. And maybe try something that's more of an open back, semi-open back, or even just some, like some inexpensive Walkman headphones where there's just a foam ear pad over your ear to keep the pressure off the ear and keep it open. Yeah. There may be a concern about bleed, right? You don't want your voice bleeding into the mic. But if you are using it without your monitoring turned on, let's say you have a Scarlett 2i2.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little switch that says monitoring on, monitoring off. Right. You turn it off, your voice will no longer be pumping out through the headphones, creating bleed.
Right.
So that eliminates that problem. And then some people are concerned, well, what about the studio's playback on the other end bleeding in? And I've never really found that to be a big problem because that bleed is in sync with what you're saying. So the bleed will be masked by the actual track on the other end, if you think about it, right?
I try not to.
whatever is being bled in from the other, let's say you're recording over, if it's a promo and you're hearing the sound on tape, the SOTs, that sound should be kept at a low level. Don't blast it. But whatever does happen to get bled into the mic, that's going to be in sync with the track, and it's going to be completely buried in the mix and masked by the audio that's already on the track. So I don't think it's going to be a problem. And my clients that have tried this have found that also it is not a problem for them. Some have even been brave enough to just use an open speaker. Completely forgo the headphones completely and just go with a speaker. And I have one client with a Zephyr Extreme where he has a speaker plugged into the headphone jack of the Zephyr, which only plays back the studio. If you run it at low enough of volume, just enough to hear the direction, you're solid and no headphones at all. So,
excellent.
A couple little headphone musings for
all
you
right.
tonight.
Well, that's important. People
slow news.
Yeah, but
there's other news,
news
that's good news, but tech, there's not much going on. It's summer. It's the doldrums.
I mean, everything's quiet right
Dog
now.
Dog days.
Yeah. Well, let's try and liven things up and take a break. We'll be right back with your questions on VoiceOver Body Shop. Don't go away.
What's a Vizzy visual voice demo? And why do you need one? A Vizzy takes your audio-only voice demo and wraps a video around it. The audio track is your voice demo. The video track tells your story and reinforces your brand. And why do you need a Vizzy? Well, what do people see when they're listening to your demo now? Your voice demo may sound terrific, but if your prospect gets distracted, they may not even remember hearing it. By engaging both their senses, sight and sound, your chances of getting noticed and remembered go way up. Besides, when your demo shows up as a video, you're instantly going to stand out from the crowd of voice talents whose demos are nothing but MP3 files that go in one ear and out the other. Your voice demo never looked so good as it will when it's a Vizzy demo. Book your Vizzy visual voice demo today at VizzyDemos.com.
You know, if you're looking for the very best, most comprehensive voiceover training, it's at vo2gogo.com, where you are trained personally and individually by the amazing David H. Lawrence XVII to create a successful and profitable voiceover practice. But, you know, if you go to vo2gogo.com right now, and you're going to be a little disappointed, temporarily. Why? Well, for the first time since 2006, David's raised the monthly subscription fee for his vo2gogo Pro classes and workouts from $200 a month to $250 a month. And the Pro Plus, which adds three produced VO demos with your training package, went up from $400 to $450. What a guy, huh? Well, It's still a bargain for what you get in either Pro or Pro Plus. Well, George and I saw this, and we weren't going to stand for it. So we came down hard on Mr. Lawrence. And I guess we were pretty intimidating because David's agreed to give only to you, the VOBS viewer, 2006 level pricing. Just $200 per month for Pro and $400 per month for Pro Plus. Go to VOBS, and if you choose Pro or Pro Plus, use the coupon code VOBS at checkout. The coupon code to use is VOBS. That'll save you $600 per year over current prices. Of course, you can save that now if you go to Pro Complete, but that's only for really dedicated talent who want to unlock the entire 36-class course and mow through it all at once, getting started all that much faster. Now, this offer is only good for a limited time. If you've decided you want to move your VO career to the next level, VO2, the number 2, GoGo, is the comprehensive voiceover training you need. Visit VO2GoGo.com/VOBS and use the coupon code VOBS to save $600. Act now and take your VO work to a higher level. That's the teleprompter ran out.
Trust us, you know.
VO2GoGo.com.
Right there on the screen.
/VOBS.
Slash. Whew.
They are ribbed for her pleasure. All right, is VOBS .TV?
Yeah, it is.
All righty. Just let me know when you're ready.
We're rolling.
All righty, we're back.
Oh, that bumper dies hard, doesn't it, Andrew?
It does. We need some new bumpers. Now, we've actually scheduled some time to redo our
the
intro.
Opener.
Yes.
Yeah, we are going to
drone shot.
With
all
a
this
real
cool
drone, not one of us.
No,
drone pilot.
Yeah, we know what happened last time when we tried to do that up at the Griffith Observatory. It didn't work well. A little windy up there.
It's going to make our ratings shoot for the roof.
Yes. Boom. Okay, so we have a few questions.
Yes.
Interesting ones. What's the first one?
First one. Somebody says, enjoying your show.
Well, why
glad
not?
To hear that. It's Greg, by the way. Greg said, George, you did an interview with the man from Sound Devices about the mix pre units from Sound Devices. Very interesting.
It was.
I thought so.
Yeah.
And the Mix Pre 3 looks sturdy and probably sounds brilliant. I can guarantee it does. Have you had any further thoughts on how useful these products might be for the voiceover? For voiceover and audiobook actors, for their use in any home studio. One question, how would you connect monitors? Well, all right, let me answer the first one, then I'll read the next thing about monitoring. I've been wanting to get one of these into a demo. I think they're selling so darn fast and so well that they haven't really been that, like...
They can't find a spare for
it. They're not, like, exactly, like, wanting to sell them. So
right. There
haven't been a lot of demo units floating around. But I do plan to get one and really put it through its paces. The things that I saw that were most useful to me about this unit, and one thing that makes it really unique, is that it has a backup recording feature built in. So you don't have to have a secondary device for backing up recording.
So you can record in your DAW, and it records on the device, too?
Yeah, internally.
Wow.
And that's actually, I mean, that sound like that big a deal, but there's really no other devices that really do that.
Talk about backup.
Yeah, because like the Zoom, the ones from Zoom, like the H5N and all that, once you plug them into the computer, they now become an interface. They don't record themselves. This thing records simultaneously. So if you're doing long-form stuff, if you're going to be directed on a phone patch for an hour, you don't want to lose that session because of a computer problem or a glitch. I think it could be worth the dough right there. That alone is worth the price of admission, I think.
Okay.
Beyond that, it's kind of bells and whistles that it has. Like, it's got a built-in limiter, which is very, very handy if you're doing, you know, animation voices where you're...
I'll kill you!
Yeah, where you're really hitting it hard and
you
just don't want to... You want to have a little safety net to work with. That's useful. And it also has pretty flexible monitoring. So the question about monitoring, how would you connect monitors as he does with his Audient ID14? I do punch and roll. I don't use cans all the time, and I listen to the pre-roll in the monitors, if that makes sense.
TMI there, Greg.
Yeah. So what Greg's is saying is, like, I like to do audiobooks and not wear headphones. This ties in what I was saying. Some software is better than others for that. Reaper is fantastic for that, for example, because in Reaper you can have pre-roll that plays through your monitors, mm-hmm. and then you can hear the last thing you read, and then you can pick up and keep going.
Right.
That's really hard to do with other software, and some audio interfaces that might be challenging to do with speakers, because as we were talking about earlier, if your microphone is always coming out of your monitors, it's feedback city, right? So a device like this has the flexibility where you can set up the monitoring the way you want. So you can set it up so the speakers will only output playback.
Right.
And not what's coming in through the mic. You don't want to turn your voiceover booth into a PA system.
No.
Pretty much ever.
Yeah.
So that's very important. So yes, it will.
Of course, you'll only make that mistake once.
Probably. I'll tell you though, I was just at a studio. I just finished tweaking a studio today for a fellow named Bill Lloyd, and he's using Pro Tools because he insists, and he's a musician, so he does recording and producing.
Musicians are exempt from my ire exactly. when it comes to Pro Tools.
It is true. It is true. But the whole dance of having to mute the track and then hit record so you don't have your mic echoing through your speakers, you still have to do this with Pro Tools 12. If anybody knows a workaround, will you please type it into the comments below? I would really love to know what it is because... Pro Tools users, it's a pain in the neck every time if you have a mic and speakers open in the same room and you hit record, it immediately passes the microphone through and you have echo.
I'll bet you Antony knows the answer to that.
Antony! Chime in, man.
Yes.
Now, anyway. The question about monitors, so how would you plug them in? Like use your regular monitor cables?
Yeah, it's got, I don't remember the interconnects that it has, but it either has XLR outputs or quarter inch outputs. I can't remember which of the pair that it has on it. I haven't looked at that video we shot in a little while, but
XLR.
That's XLR.
Quarter inch.
That's right. Actually, this has XLR on one end.
And quarter inch on the other.
We just keep this around for that specific demo right there.
That's right.
This one thing. That's all we need it for. So anyway, I hope that helps a little bit.
All right. Graham Yates asks, George, I'm hoping you don't mind me weighing in on a mentor level question about demos.
This is for you, Dan.
Yeah. I'm worried that a professional demo might set up a bait switch scenario for my clients. It's just that I cannot edit audio near as well as a professional engineer. My recording booth isn't as acoustically treated as a real studio, and I have a TLM-103, but who knows what godlike mic I'd use in a demo's recording.
Okay.
All right. My clients are so far small explainer videos, and my current demo, which ashamedly I made myself, more accurately reflects what they'll actually be getting on the final product. Me, on my mic, my booth, with my editing skills. Should I feature two demos on my site, one pro, one home? This seems to me like a terrible idea. Just to be very clear, I'm not trying to weasel out of paying a professional fit demo. Okay. Ask the question on the show, and we're kind enough to give you the answer. This is a dilemma. When you are recording a demo, if you're putting it on your site, if you are letting producers know, this is what I sound like, you darn well better sound like that. Now, a lot of times people will go to a professional demo producer, and they will embellish. They will use compression. They will add music. They will add effects to make it sound.
They'll comp together like 10 takes.
Exactly.
To get the perfect, absolute perfect read.
Right. Now, you can probably impress somebody with that.
Sure.
They'll
can.
Say, wow, they would sound great on this commercial.
I could sound great if I was producing it that way.
Exactly. Anybody could sound great. But if you get hired based on that demo and say you're doing a remote session or they call you into the studio, and the director's like, can you do it like you did in take three or the third cut of your demo?
Yeah, the one about mayonnaise.
Yeah.
That mayonnaise spot, that's the one I'm thinking of.
You know, and we want it with verve.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you darn well better sound that way.
Yeah.
Because the engineer that produced your demo may have his own predilections about what it's supposed to sound like, and that's a problem.
There's some background, a little background to this question. He's asking this because I called him out for having a demo that sounded like he produced it himself.
Okay.
I actually asked him. I said, Graham, the demo on your website, we reviewed his webpage. Remember we were looking at
when Joe was here. Yeah.
And I said, you know, did you produce your own demo? I actually asked him, I think it was in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I did. I think he was maybe a little embarrassed, but he said he did. An experienced casting director, they will... they will know that. They right. will pick it out because they're hearing great demo productions over and over and over and over.
Right.
So it doesn't mean you're not representing your skill, but it means that you're representing yourself and not the best of light, which may possibly come across as not as professional.
Right.
So maybe that's the danger of self-producing the demo.
Right.
It's not the danger that you're not, it's not like you're not showing them that you know how to do this, like from a talent. You know, you have the chops. It's that you have the chops and you recognize what is considered something that sounds like it's on the air right now. Mm-hmm. If you know what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it'd be like being a model and sending in just Polaroids instead of a beautifully retouched.
No makeup. The hair is just yeah. like you just got up.
They know when you walk in, you're going to look like you right off the street, right? But they know that once you're made up, you're going to look a certain way. And I think a demo has to represent you that way. It has to represent you in your best possible light.
I'll bet Sarah Jane Sherman will give us a great answer to that question
maybe,
as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, maybe. I'd love to hear what her opinion
maybe
is.
Maybe we'll throw that one at her.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's something that a casting director would do.
But I would say, Graham, that's an interesting idea of having two versions of your demos, and I think that is probably a bad idea on your website.
Yeah, but you can direct...
Interesting idea.
If you direct people to the right one.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're doing, I mean, he says he's doing explainer videos and stuff like that.
Yeah, you have to do demos that are
relevant to what you do.
Relevant to what you do, but also to the biz, to the genre, to the style, right. If you're doing national ad spots, they better sound convincing.
Absolutely.
But don't do a Coke spot because everybody knows who's on Coke. It ain't going to be you, probably.
Right. Or Mercedes.
Don't do. But you know, it's like you want to do a very convincing sounding production. But if it's just if it's lower budget stuff you're shooting for, then the demo maybe wouldn't sound so whiz bang, glossy, shiny, sparkly, sequiny.
Shiny. All right.
I'm done making stuff up.
Okay.
Let's get to the meat of the show here.
All right. Not that this wasn't juicy and delectable, but okay. Well, Sarah Jane Sherman is standing by to be riddled with the questions that we've prepared for her. And we will, of course, take your questions. All you have to do is put it in the chat room. Antony and Jack Daniel, who is here in our studio, who brings the beer every week. It's like a weekly poker game. You know, if you have a question, the guys at VOBS for technical questions, or in the chat room if you have a direct question, and they will forward it to us, and we will inquire that to Ms. Sherman.
The guys at VOBS.tv, in case you don't know, it's a .tv.
.tv.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be back on .tv here on VOBS right after this.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Lemon, the home studio master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
Hey, everybody. I want to tell you a little bit about one of our friends and sponsors of VOBS, and that's Source Elements, the creators of Source Connect. It's a great software tool for connecting to other studios real-time, sending your audio back and forth a la ISDN. But those of you who are using ISDN or thinking about using ISDN know how difficult it is to get and how impossibly expensive it's becoming. And that's why Source Connect is probably the tool you want to be looking into nowadays. It's become the heir apparent for those studios that have relied on ISDN for the last 20 years to send audio in real time and collaborate between studios. Give it a try. You can go over to sourceelements.com. That's source-elements.com. And you can give it a try for 15 days. I recommend you try out Source Connect Standard. It's pretty much the right software for a voice actor. If you're a production studio, go with Source Connect Pro. It's got extra tools you'll actually take advantage of, like remote transport sync and the ability to repair and replace audio if there's any issues during the session. Give it a try, and we appreciate their support of the show. We'll be right back here with Dan right after this.
Before time began, there was VOBS.TV. Watch or else.
And we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Time to introduce our guest, a young lady who is very accomplished in the world of animation casting. Rather unique idea, a rather unique career. We're going to talk to her about that. She's been at Disney and currently is at Free Range Animation as a casting director and a coach and all sorts of cool stuff. Let's welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop, Sarah Jane Sherman. Welcome.
Hello. Hi. Thank you.
Thank you for coming back on the show.
Absolutely. I'm very happy to be here.
All right. Well, this is a very interesting thing that you do. Now, there are many casting directors here in Hollywood and probably in New York and probably in Dallas. Mm-hmm. More here in this 10 square mile area than just about anywhere else.
But only one in this room.
and the best one in this room, by the way. What brought you into this type of work?
Well, I kind of fell into it. I started my career in development. I've always been in children's television for the majority of my career. I started out at a company called Galain Entertainment, who are known for Thomas the Tank Engine back in the day. And then I went on to Klasky Csupo, known for Rugrats, As Told by Ginger, Rocket Power, working in development as an assistant. And then I was fortunate enough that my boss at the time got a job over at Disney Television Animation. And she gave me my first executive job as a development executive.
Now, what exactly is development? That's just taking the ideas and assembling them into a cohesive project?
Yeah, essentially buying the shows for the studio. So I'd be meeting with writers and taking pitches and seeing what kind of show I thought would be great for Disney. At the time, it was Disney Channel and Jetix, which is now Disney XD. And a big thing I purchased or helped the company acquire was Phineas and Ferb.
Oh,
so that was a big thing.
Great series.
Yeah. And so I did development for a year. And throughout the development process, I was also getting to see the casting process. I got to go down and watch the actors try out for the shows and kind of see it. And I was like, this is way better than development. I need to be down there. So after about a year in development, I went into casting, working with Dave Wright. And I started out as a coordinator, got promoted to a manager, then to a director, then an executive director, and I was there for 12 years. So I spent the majority of my career learning casting and developing my tastes and my style working at Disney. And then just this past January, I got a job at the at Free Range Animation as the head of casting, which is the untitled animated Jon Stewart project, essentially, working with HBO and doing political parody. So I got to have a whole nother career, you know, instead of working with kids TV, kind of going into the adult world.
Ah, but you can't tell us about what exactly you're doing there.
Well, it actually just ended. HBO and John decided to not move forward with the project. So I did it for about 6 months. So I just started or just ended rather in June. But it was, political parody for the internet. So it was all new media stuff. So it was really interesting because, you know, having done casting at Disney for so long, I walked out of there thinking, wow, I know animation casting. I know how to do it. But I really learned a hard lesson that I knew how to cast for Disney. I knew how to cast for a big studio. And with this, if you think a political parody, you know, you don't have time on your side. You have to have extremely fast turnaround. So I soon realized that while I had 8 weeks to cast a pilot, maybe at Disney, we would be producing daily content that we would have to turn around in 1 day. So I would have to get the dialogue cast and recorded within 2 to 6 hours.
Sounds like news production.
Yeah. So that was very different. I mean, just because, you know, it has to be topical. It has to be out fast. You can't have a joke land, you know, 2 weeks later. It's not very funny. So that was a whole new learning experience for me. So that was really exciting. And I really felt like I got to grow. And then when that project ended, I kind of translated that into being able to do some freelance casting. And then while I'm in between casting jobs, I've started coaching. And or coaching even more, focusing on it you know, more hours in the week. And really coaching kids or adults getting ready for Disney or Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network auditions, getting them prepared. So kind of being on the other side of things.
Mm, okay, cool. Yeah. All right, well, now we know exactly where it is you came from and why you're there. So tell us a little bit about the casting process when, you know, you've got specs, and how do you find the people, and what's the process?
Yeah, well, I think I have to adjust my casting process based off of not only the studio I'm working for, but also the executive producer. Sometimes they've lived with this idea for so long, they know exactly what they want. They have everything. They're like, I want this actor, this actor, this actor. And okay, great, easy job. And sometimes they're like, I have no idea, you know, surprise me. So I have to adjust my process based off of what they want and what they need. But generally speaking, I would meet with the executive producer and usually get pitched their pilot, kind of hear what their pilot is about, the types of characters they have, what they have in their heads so far. And then I ask them to create sides. And sides are essentially scripts that I'm going to have talent audition with. And I think they're called sides because they show all of the different sides of the character. So if they tell me the character is going to be really sweet with his mother, but really mean to his little brother, I want to have a line where he's being really sweet to his mother so I can see that side. And then being really mean to his brother, I need to know my actor has range and that can do all those different types of emotions. So once I get the sides, I send them to the local voice agents in the Los Angeles area. Nowadays, people are auditioning at home, and then they are sending the auditions back to the agent, and then the agent emails them to me. And I get about 500 auditions for one role.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you listen to all of them?
I do listen to all of the auditions, but I don't listen to the whole length of the audition.
Right. Right.
So I'd like to get at least a taste, and I mean, I know pretty quickly, no, they're looking for kids only, not adults, or in this case, I'm just making this up,
okay.
Or they are looking for a 12-year-old, or they're looking for, you know, a certain ethnicity or something like that, because we typically try to cast ethnically appropriate for our roles. So I can sometimes rule people out right away. If they have really poor technical quality, I can just rule them out too. So I narrow that 500 down to about 20 or 25 that I then pass on to the executive producer. So this is what you're referring to me as the gatekeeper earlier. Essentially, I'm the first person. Yes, exactly. I'm the first person that you would have to get through if I was casting the project from the 500 to get to the 25. And really that 25 is just a good time for us to be able to talk about the voices and have something substantial to really listen to and be on the same page with. Because if they say, oh, no, I want someone that doesn't sound like a nerd, and I play, well, I don't think this sounds like a nerd, and they'll say, but this exactly sounds like a nerd. Now I have a benchmark, right? And I can work back from there. So I get their feedback, the executive producer's feedback on these 20, 25 voices, and then it's time for callback auditions. And a lot of times callback auditions happen with the executive producer. Sometimes I'm directing the auditions, a casting director or a dialogue director is brought in to direct the auditions. And that's the actor's chance to come in and perform in a room, perform in the booth in-house and get the one-on-one feedback. Instead of just auditioning, you know, in a vacuum with nobody giving you any feedback, you actually get a response on what you're doing. Okay, let me set up the scene for you a little bit more. Okay, I need you to sound a little younger, you know, and adjust the actor's performance. And then ideally we narrow it down to around three people from the callback auditions. And then we kind of start mixing and matching to make sure that all these actors fit in the same series. They make sense all in the same world. They fit all in the same show. That if we have two adult females, that they don't sound too similarly. You know, make sure maybe we're creating an iconic voice. You know, when we cast Phineas, we were creating a voice that kids were going to recognize, that we're going to become an iconic character. So that's always interesting, too. And then we present them to the powers that be, the president of Disney TV Animation, of Disney Channel, and get them on board with it. And then hopefully we get sign off and they say, great job, Sarah, and I get a promotion in race.
That works.
That's the way it is.
Yeah. Now, all those cartoons that you were mentioning, Rugrats and with some of the other ones that you worked on, they were all being played in the back of my car while I was driving my kids to school. So all I would do was hear.
Yeah.
All these great voice actors. And I would memorize, you know, because they would watch the same thing over and over again. But there, it was very well, all great cartoons are extremely well cast. So it's, I can now see the process is not a simple one. You know, there are established talents out there that are going to have priority. I mean, if you're Tom Kenny, someone's going to grab you for something.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, and that certainly was the long process for a big studio, you know. doing this John Stewart project was much more quick and dirty, and I didn't have, you know, 8 weeks to do that.
Right.
So it was a lot faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it? Are you tempted to grab somebody out of the hallway to do something like when, in a situation like that?
Yeah. No, I mean, I want to get the best person for the role, but it's very quick. You know, you can imagine if we were doing political parody that there may be a Trump sound-alike in there. I'm right. not going to confirm or deny that, but you right. can imagine that maybe that would be a case. And then, you know, if I only have 4 hours to record and or cast and record, and our person who does Trump is in a session from 9 to 1, and I need to have that dialogue, I mean, that's an interesting dilemma too. Is it, am I trying to find multiple people that do that type of voice? And are you trying to do a dead-on sound-alike, or are you trying to do a parody of what people think that character sounds like or that person sounds like? So there's a lot of different factors go into that. But yes, it's very quick and dirty, and I want to have like a roster of talent that I can go to and that can really you know, deliver when I need them and deliver quickly.
Yeah. Now, for the voice actors that are watching our show,
yep.
is there a lot of opportunity in animation, you know, something that they should really try to pursue? And what does it take to really prepare yourself for that?
There's a ton of animation out there.
Yeah.
Ton right now. I mean, because it's not just the big, you know, Disney, DreamWorks, Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network. It's not just those people. You know, I mean, you've got everybody doing animation, and a lot of people are doing it for the internet. So I think the opportunity is out there, but I think you have to be at a certain level. Like, you really have to be competitive. Doing a lot of coaching, first thing I usually get is, as I'm sure everyone has heard before, I have a funny voice, I should be in cartoons. Great. What is your acting background? That right. is always the next thing I say. And then I like to see if people are funny, too. So, you know, doing those improv classes you'd mentioned and refining your acting skills, I think, are key. And not just voice acting. I mean, it can be stage acting, live action, all of that really does translate into voice acting. But I think there's opportunities out there. But, yes, you do have to elevate your game and, you know, get yourself ready and really focus on it.
Yeah. One of the hardest parts of, you know, being a voice actor with a home studio is there is no interaction. You're yeah. by yourself. You've got to self-direct. Taking classes and working with other people, especially taking improv, is probably one of the healthiest things you can do. One, yeah. it gets you out of your booth. and two, you get to work with other people and learn how to trust other people that you're working with. And so, and I'm sure you try to facilitate that too.
Yeah.
Do people work together when they're doing these, or like some of the projects you were doing, is it just one voice, or you get people working together, or it depends
actually
on the situation?
Actually recording the shows?
Yeah.
I think it just depends on the show and the preference of the executive producer. Yes. I mean, there's some instances, like I know Marvel, for example, it's like records everyone, the whole cast together in these 4 hours. And if you accept the job, you're in that small time frame. We would record people all day long, usually very separate, just so people could be in and out a little faster because they were so busy. You know, you mentioned a Tom Kenny. If he has 4 lines of dialogue, I'm not going to keep him in a 4-hour record where he right. could probably have, you know, 3 other jobs at the yeah. same time. I'd have him come in and, you know, come in, come out. Again, a show like Phineas and Ferb, we were recording people from London. We were recording people from New York. So at 9 o'clock, we'd start with our British actors and then record them for a couple hours. Then in the middle, we would record with our actors who were local. I had an actor in New Zealand. They started out in LA, but then moved to New Zealand. And then 3 o'clock, we could start working with the kids because we couldn't record kids until 3 to 6.
Right.
Because of school and all the welfare rules, unless we wanted to school them. So it behooved us in a lot of ways, even though it might have cost a little bit more financially, to really record everybody individually to get them in and out. So we would play the other performers' takes for them so they could hear it and then react yeah, off
but
of
look
it.
what you saved not having to cast Perry Platypus. He didn't say anything.
But D. Bradley Baker played the role of Perry the Platypus. Well,
but
he made
just,
the sound.
Just his
no,
sound?
No, he made I can't do it. But it's like a, you know, trill sound. Like, I'm not doing it. I can't
He's
do
so
that.
He's so good at that.
Oh, guy yeah, is
now. There's nothing he can't do.
Yeah, so D did that voice.
Yeah, very, very cool. So now you're coaching.
Yes.
And you're telling people, hey, I'm coaching. How, you know, I take it you people are like, it happened because, like, I really enjoyed working with you as a director. Would you help me out with this type of
yeah.
Read?
Or now that you've left Disney, I'm going in for a Disney audition. Will you help me get ready for it? Right. Or I'm reading on something. You know, people are really excited about, like, DuckTales, for example. And they, like, let's practice this audition with me, that kind of thing. So yeah, I've been doing that and it's been a lot of fun. Also kind of teaching people how to do voice acting, begin with the basics of what to expect in an audition. But I am teaching it from a casting director's perspective. I am not an actor, so I'm not saying this is how you do your voice, but saying this is what I'm looking for as, you know, if I were to be casting this show, this is what I would be looking for. I want you to work on the comedy. I want you to get that dynamic performance in there. It really seems all one note. It all seems like one emotion. How can you change things up? And yeah, my goal is that they can, by the end, look at the copy and then do it on their own. They don't need coaching. Right. They could say, okay, what would a casting director want to hear from this?
So there's teaching technique and then there's directing.
Yeah.
So you know a little bit of technique because you've seen,
yep. Well,
when you work with the best,
yeah.
You learn what it is
absolutely.
That they're doing. And
yeah.
So you've probably picked up a thing or two from, you know, some of the great actors that have been
yeah.
are in some of those series. And so that's a very valuable thing to have. So are you teaching individually? Are you going to be teaching classes or?
I mean, I do both. I work at, right now I'm guest directing at the Actors Company with Aaron Drown, and we're doing a 4-week class. And I also do private coaching through Skype every day too.
Yeah.
We
can show you better ways to do that too.
I know, probably.
That's one of our things.
That's great.
Well, let's, you know, if you've got a question for Sarah Jane Sherman about this, tell Jack Daniel or Antony, who is there in Kalamazoo, Michigan, with his new coffee roasting business. Great coffee. Make sure that you put it in the chat room and get it to us. And in the next segment, we will ask her some of those questions. But one of the things we wanted to work on.
Okay.
I wanted to see how you direct.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's.
No pressure?
No, none. What, the pressure is all on me, kiddo.
Oh, trust me.
Yeah.
We've watched this experiment. It's a lot
yeah,
of fun.
It's, yeah, we've had, you know, we did one once where we had, what, 5 directors, and each one threw me in a different direction. It was, that was exciting. Let's see here. Where is that one that you sent me? It is in the mail. And
mind you, I sent it to you about 3 minutes ago.
Ah, well, there
so
it is.
You haven't had a ton of time to practice.
No,
so it is a ice cold read.
It's right here. Oh well,
that's what we like.
Before. Okay, so let's read the specs here. There's a picture of a worm, and some TNT. If you can see that. All right, and it says now what to look for when you're reading the specs and when you're if you're going to be auditioning. Worm is the evil lord of uncooked land, or so he thinks. Really, he's just an insecure worm who has a penchant for building super complicated gadgets and making devious plans. Uncooked land was his land before the pets got there, and he spends his days trying to destroy them. But the real reason he's so mad at the pets is because they never ask him to hang out. He just wants to be loved. He doesn't understand this because, in his mind, he's a pretty cool guy. All right. So
he's a rejected sort of villain character who just wants love. Is
yep.
that how you kind
right.
of boil this
and
guy?
And that's
down?
Why he's the villain.
Yep. So key things I would pick out are he thinks he's a cool guy.
All right.
You know, so you probably want to have the line where you're being the cool guy. Like,
right.
you know, mentioned just he is rejected. So kind of have that feeling of rejection, feeling like he could be a good villain, but maybe he isn't quite successful. So making sure you're, you know, as you're reading the character description, are there any things you want to pull out that you want to make sure you incorporate into the sides so that you can show the casting director you have that acting range?
Oh, okay. Cool. All right. So here are some of the sides. One, worm. Plotting rock. After spying on the uncooked gang and finding out that they're having a dance and he's not invited. All right. So first, got to come up with a character voice for this.
Yep.
So I could throw any voice out there. And what would a worm sound like? And an evil worm at that. I mean, I can't believe it. First, those lousy pets move into my forest and now they don't even invite me to their stupid dance. Like I'd go anyway. I mean, if someone asked me to go, but whatever, I wouldn't go. I'd probably go. Maybe I would. Something like that.
Yep. Well, first thing I'd make you do is stand up, but I'm not going to make you do that today. Just
okay.
so that you can get a lot of good movement.
Yeah, right.
So I'm not going to have you do that today, but if you're performing in front of me, I'd have you stand up so you can give it a little bit more energy.
Okay.
So this line I think is great because it has that emotion that you can switch back and forth and I don't have the sides directly in front of me, but like I wouldn't go, I'd probably go. That really leaves room for you to have that to move your voice around a little bit more, maybe to go a little low pitch, then maybe a little high pitch, then a little low pitch, then a little high pitch, right. just to really get that adjustment in there, just mm-hmm. to find the difference in the character. And I liked you adding that little bit of ad lib in there. That's good. You could also do it with sounds. I'm big on adding sounds because I think it's a way of cheating the ad lib. If you're worried about, you know, I don't want to offend any writers. I don't think the writer is going to be offended if you say, yeah, I wouldn't go. And you make that little sound as you consider the other option.
Right.
Things like that. But I would just exaggerate it. You know, in animation, we say highs higher, lows lower. So if you're going to be sad, be very sad. If you're going to be happy, be over the top happy.
I was going to say, in animation, over the top.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, there's some people that we do have to rein in a little bit because you don't want to be too wacky crazy. And I bet you can go very big with your performance. I'm not going to say too crazy with it, but usually we go a little bit more on the bigger side. And this is your chance to add your artistic impression, too,
right.
because the animator is then going to draw based off of your performance. So what fun things can you do with your voice that the artist is then going to draw?
Right.
You know, things to think about.
Is it better to start a little over the top and then be reined in?
Yeah.
Or is that usually a better way to go?
Yeah, you start a little bit bigger and let me say, okay, that's too big. Let's narrow it down a little bit as opposed to, okay, let's get bigger.
Okay,
let's get bigger. Okay, they can't get bigger.
Yeah,
and then,
right.
and then
that's
we're
it.
Done.
That's all they got.
That's all they got. All right, let's have you try it again. And let's feel a big difference on each of those lines toward the end there.
Okay, cool. All right. I can't believe it. First, those lousy pets move into my forest. And now they don't even invite me to their stupid dance. Like I'd go anyway. I mean, I would if someone was going to ask me to go. But whatever. I wouldn't go. Maybe I'd probably go.
Good. You're doing it more with your face than with your voice. Let's get it even more, because I see your face is making all the right expressions.
Right.
Now we got to get it for your voice. Whatever, I wouldn't go. I'd probably go. I want a really big difference between the two, pitch-wise.
Okay.
Right. Because, like, again, you have those great facial expressions, then you got to translate your face into your voice.
Okay.
And then even adding a sound of frustration before the line even starts.
Right.
Might even kind of help you get into it. Pick up the pace a little bit.
Okay, cool. All right. I can't believe it. First, those lousy pets move into my forest, and now they don't even invite me to this stupid dance. Like, I'd go anyway. I mean, I would if someone asked me, but whatever, I wouldn't go. Well, maybe I'd go.
Yeah. Do you feel a difference with that?
Yeah.
Kind of weird?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I would direct you.
Okay. Cool.
There you go.
Yay.
And that's how it's done.
Very nicely done.
Oh, did I pass? Did I pass the coaching test? The dialogue directing test?
There was no test. Awesome. I didn't tell you you had a test.
It's always for Dan.
Yes. All righty. Here's a question. We were talking about this earlier. Because obviously, big stars get cast, you know, when at Disney, there was top level people. I mean, you were probably working with, you know, Rob Paulsen and Maurice LaMarche and the stars of this business, Bob Bergen. Yes, I mentioned you, Bob, and a few others. These are people that there's, you know, when you go to a conference or something and you meet this small cadre of people who are the time, you know, E.G. Daily and they're very good at what they do, and they can do such a wide range of things. When you're looking at the casting process, in today's modern social media terms, do, say, the higher-up people in directing and casting and producing look at how many Twitter followers somebody has?
That's a good question. I think it depends on the role and the show. You know, I think at Disney, we didn't necessarily care as much. I mean, if you're like, while I was at Disney,
well, Twitter didn't exist when you were at Disney.
No, it did. I was just in January. Left. But you know, unfortunately, Wayne Allwine passed away, the voice of Mickey Mouse, which was a huge loss, and we had to recast it. I was not the main person doing it, but I was on the outskirts of it, and it wasn't who has the most Twitter followers to play Mickey Mouse. It was who was the best voice, who was the best character for that, and you know, because we were focusing a lot more on the character. And yes, there are some productions in some instances where it's, oh, great, let's have, you know, we want this to be highly promoted or highly publicized. But I think in general, it's really about finding the best voice for the role. I would say just across the board. You know, maybe some of the lower budget productions that need some cachet added to their project, or they need something that's going to help elevate it. And they want someone that's going to publicize their project with all their Twitter followers, and that might be a little bit more important. But I think it is about finding the best voice.
Yeah, because they don't have the money to actually pay the actor.
Yeah.
It's like, well, let's bring them all in and it'll help. All righty. Well, again, if you've got a question for Sarah Jane Sherman, casting director in animation, again, put it in our chat room, and Jack or Antony will get it to us, and we'll ask her those questions right after this break, so don't go away.
Here's a question for you. Do you know what your audition to booking ratio is? As in, how many auditions does it take before you book a job? How about your pipeline? Do you know which jobs you've booked? Which ones you've sent to the client for approvals? How about which ones you've invoiced but haven't been paid yet? Do you know how much you booked this month compared to last month or last year at the same time? Yeah, these questions might make your head spin. You might say, I'm a voice actor, an artist. I don't have a head for business, and I don't want to spend a bunch of time trying to figure out how to keep track of auditions, bookings, who hasn't paid me yet, and when was the last time I booked with that guy anyway? That's why we built VoiceOverview.com, a simple way to track, manage, and grow your voiceover business. Because after all, it is a business. VoiceOverview was built by voice actors for voice actors. Check it out today and start tracking your voiceover business. VoiceOverview.com, your voiceover business made simple.
Alrighty. Okay. Harlan Hogan, the VO1A microphone. Now save $50 when you buy the VO1A voiceover microphone, plus a MicPort Pro, the gold standard for a portable USB audio interface to professional microphones. Boom arm stand, pop filter, Terry Lee King and King Kong aren't included. And yeah, yeah, shark, monkeys, and astronaut not included. Here's the deal. $299 plus $199 equals $448.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Enjoy our new math with $50 off this dynamic duo. The best voiceover microphone and the best portable USB interface to connect to your computer. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Go over to voiceoveressentials.com and buy the VO1A and the MicPort Pro package for just $448. Yeah, it doesn't add up, but it's a great package deal. And the best way to go over there is to look at the bottom of the page, scroll down from where you're watching us, and Harlan's right down there, and click on the picture of him talking into his porta booth, and that will take you right over to VoiceOver Essentials and demand this particular package deal that he's giving out with the VO1A, which is a fabulous voiceover microphone, which George Whittam is now modeling in front of. Shot of George with microphone. There he is. There's the VO1A. Thank you, Carol Merrill. It's a great microphone. And with a MicPort Pro, very portable. So go over to voiceoveressentials.com, the best place to get your voiceover stuff. Thanks, Harlan.
This is Bill Farmer, and you are watching VoiceOver Body Shop. It's great.
Having dinner tonight? How about having some VO, too?
VoiceOver Body Shop.
Have some voiceover with your dinner tonight on VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
All right, we're back with Sarah Jane Sherman, casting director with animation with a great resume.
Thank you.
I mean, yeah, that's... I mean, those are all my favorite shows because, like I said, I got kids who were kids that when all those great shows were on. So you did a great job there. We've got lots of questions from our amazing audience all across the four points of the globe. George Whittam, question number one for Sarah Jane Sherman.
Yeah, first one came in tonight is from scrolling up to the top of the list here because it's a pretty good list. Steve Tardio, he's a great fan and he's been watching the show a long time. Steve says, I know Disney sometimes has general animation auditions. Do other animation studios offer general auditions, and if so, what's the best way to get on the radar to do a general audition?
Good
is there
question.
A way of saying cattle call, or is
no,
that different?
Generals are a little bit more elite. I don't know, that's the wrong word.
Okay.
But you know, they're not tons of people.
Yeah.
First of all, hi Steve, good to hear from you. So I guess other studios, I think it would all go through your voiceover agent. So for the most part, your voice agent would have a relationship with the casting directors and then request that they have a general for you. If you haven't, as an actor, met some of the casting directors, sometimes your agent can call and request that you get one.
For the uninitiated like myself,
yeah.
What or how do you describe a general audition?
Yep. general audition, usually we would send a bunch of different types of sides over to the actor, and then the actor would pick three or four sides that they wanted to do, and then come in and do them for a bunch of casting directors. At Disney, usually there was three of us in the room just all listening to the person, you know, go through the characters, and we would give them a few directing tips here and there. Try this, try that, just to see how they take direction. They usually last anywhere between 15 minutes to 30 minutes. They kind of come in and do their thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, if they're like, oh, I want to show you that I can sing. Oh, I want to show you that I can do creature voices. Oh, I want to show you that I can do the best dinosaur you've ever heard. You know, great. And they'll come in and do it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what that is. Thank you. Paul Stefano says, I know Sarah moved from Maryland.
Yes.
Is there any hope of doing animation from outside California? That's the question it's asked every episode.
Yep.
Everybody wants to know.
So for the big studios, it's good to be in the Los Angeles area for the big studios. But when I was working with Free Range, people would record from home. So I didn't necessarily care where people were because I had them record from home and then email me in the take. So, I mean, smaller stuff there might be. I don't want to, pop it, burst everybody's bubble.
Yeah.
But I think for the main stuff, I like when people come in and I get to meet them face to face. I mean, yes, there's a lot of ways to do that nowadays, but, you know, I meet a ton of actors over and over and over again, and I'm lucky that I knew the first two people's names, so you happened to jog, and I knew who they were, and I've met them both, so that's good.
They're aggressive guys, what can we say?
But it's, you know, it's hard, so adding that face really does help me. So it's not just a name, not just a voice, but getting the face and saying, oh, I like this person, oh, I want to work with them, great. And then once you get established, you can move wherever in the world, but... you know, maybe if you're not going to be in the Los Angeles area, maybe you act as though you are and you are willing to fly in and pay that cost to come in for the callback audition or to come in and do that face-to-face audition just so you can get to know the casting directors. So did I answer your question?
Yeah.
I think with new media stuff, yeah, maybe the trend will be eventually you can start to work anywhere. But for now, all the major studios living in Los Angeles really is the best. Yeah.
I mean, the major studio work, the voice actor, it's understood they're going to be coming in to do that record.
Yeah.
It may not be ensemble, but they're going to be coming in to do it. But there's probably a lot of lower budget productions out there who are casting people and doing it remotely.
Yeah.
Right? So you know, that kind of work, they're probably more likely to cast that way.
And, you know, that's what it kind of brought back to your idea or discussions about the demo reels earlier. In that if somebody did a self-produced, it's like, I don't necessarily want to hear the self-produced demo. I'd want more of the produced because I am going to bring them into the studio and it will be kind of the polished. I'm not saying overproduced, but produced one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
Tracy Reynolds, on Thomas the Tank Engine, there has to be a story about getting Ringo Starr on the show.
Well, no, I worked in development back in, my development days.
Yeah.
No, I didn't handle anything with casting at that point.
Yeah.
That took place for the UK office, and I was in the Los Angeles office kind of helping buy shows. But
that was not your job.
Yeah.
Not my job at the time.
Yes, sorry. Not your department.
That we say in L.A. Not my job. Patrick Sweeney, the man whose face is on the mic.
Yes, up in Toronto, Canada.
Yeah. Sarah, what catches your ear when listening to a demo or an audition?
Comedy. Good
comedy.
Acting and comedy. Like, I like to laugh. I mean, think, I'm listening to 500 auditions, right? Why is your audition going to stand out?
Mm-hmm.
It's if you're adding those, you know, the physicality, adding those sounds that we had just talked about, doing things that are going to make me laugh, really, you know, help me stand out, help people stand out to me. So I love hearing that kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, people that are just good and talented, I guess, you know, that stands out.
Memorable, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if they step up to the mic and you're just, like, drawn to them.
Yeah.
You know, because some people just have that charisma that can do that.
Absolutely, yeah.
And where it comes from, God only knows.
The it factor.
Okay, yes, exactly. Wouldn't we all like to be the it person this week?
Yeah, exactly.
One from Richard Harris off of Facebook.
Yeah, Sarah, what is the best tip you can give a relative unknown animation voice actor to get a chance in a major production?
Yeah, good luck.
The $1 million tip.
I know, Jesus, like, oh, this is a tricky one.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think it's getting yourself in front of the right people. I've had people, you know, I've worked with that said, oh, I'm a voice actor and I, you know, no one has come after me or done anything. I'm like, great. Are your demos posted somewhere so people can find you? No. I'm like, okay, do you have like a website? No, I don't. And I was like, well, I'm not just going to come and knock on your door.
Right.
Be like, are you a voice actor? Right. So putting yourself out there, like getting yourself exposure by creating a website for yourself. And I don't go to the pay-to-play site, so I'm not necessarily just saying that, but I know that maybe some casting directors go to those different sites. But, you know, getting yourself into the with a Los Angeles voice agent, maybe that doesn't happen right away. Maybe it's a slow build and that you start with a local voice agent and work your way up. I know I'm sure you have lots of people typing in, do I need a voice agent to be able to do this?
Well, we'll make that the next question.
But I think, you know, that's how who are the people that are going to get you in front of the casting directors as well. Mm-hmm. So advice, add yourself into your performance. You know, don't try to copy somebody else's performance. Do what you do best. Not say, well, I know that this person is successful and they do this. Do you do that well? Like, if you do it well, great. But, you know, don't try to be somebody else. You do you kind of thing.
Yeah.
But adding yourself into the performance. If people always comment, like, you have the best laugh. Get that laugh into your performance. You know, if it, like, takes over the room, that kind of thing. If you are so not funny, you're funny. Like, because you're just horribly not funny, get that into your performance. You know, like, what can you do to bring these characters and make these characters unique to you?
That, like, shamefully awful, embarrassing kind of funny?
Yeah. It's like, get that into the character. That's hysterical. Yeah. You know, it's like, that wasn't funny, but that's hysterical, you know?
The fact that that wasn't funny kills me. That's
yeah,
so funny.
Absolutely.
Jeremy Burgett, this one's from Facebook. The last one's from Facebook too. I don't know if that matters, but
we have two chat rooms.
Yeah, we've got people coming in from Facebook and our website. Did you already say that when recording after getting the gig, that most animation is typically recorded as ensemble, like in a video game? I guess we didn't really talk about that.
We talked a little bit about it. Some shows record together, and a lot of times if there's like two leads, sometimes they'll have the two main leads recording together,
yeah.
Unless the two leads are the same person, like Jim Cummings doing Winnie the Pooh and Tigger, right. You know, that kind of thing. For the most part, at Disney, we had recorded everyone individually, and then for also the other project I did, just because of people's timing and schedule, and then because of the kids getting at them after school and location.
With children casting, I'm sure ensembles are almost impossible to make happen.
But it is interesting. Sometimes I do like to put newbies with experienced actors because I think they raise their game. You know, kind of elevates their performance and they get to learn a lot from the actor sitting next to them. So that's always a fun thing.
What a massive opportunity for a young or old, but if you're a new actor to get that.
Absolutely.
Huge.
I think you could probably learn more from the greats if you get the opportunity to work with them and see up close what it is that they're doing that perhaps you just aren't clear in your mind. Oh, probably a lot of aha movements happen when you get to work with somebody like Tom Kenny or Jim Cummings.
They bring so much to the character and something you never even thought of. I mean, that's the beauty of listening to hundreds and hundreds of auditions. You might have a certain idea of what you think a character sounds like, and then all of a sudden somebody comes in and, you know, flips it on its ear and you're like, oh wait, that's what the character sounds like. I was wrong this whole entire time until they did this.
Pat Sweeney has another question.
He is prolific. Thanks, Pat. We do appreciate the questions. You guys, some people get embarrassed when they ask too many questions. Please never do that. It's really helpful.
That's why we're here.
Yeah. What role do you have in the decision making process for a role, if any?
Yeah. Well, I think the bigger the role, the more people are involved. So if it is a lead on a popular network, then I think more people are going to weigh in. But I'm right there presenting the top three choices that they're going to choose from. Mm. So, like I said, I'm kind of the gatekeeper to get through there. But if it's guy number two, I can pretty much cast that on my own. You know, delivery guy, I got it. You know, they let me just kind of pick somebody for it sometimes. Uh-huh. But then the way that SAG-AFTRA works too is that first voice I get for a scale rate, and then the second voice is free, and then the third voice is about 10% more. So it behooves me to bring in somebody who's already on the show to do a second voice, and usually I can just decide what second voice or third voice they're going to do because it helps with our budget a little bit.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. We're talking with Sarah Jane Sherman. She is an animation casting director with all the big studios. And again, if you've got a question, throw it in the chat room and our guys will get it to us. One from Sandy Smith.
Sandy says, good evening. I want to make sure that I have a good representation of my character work. I also want to know what types, voices, and genres should I have on my reel. Is that a clear question?
Does that make sense? I think I get it. I'll answer it, and then
I'm not sure if I'm totally getting it, but maybe he'll.
Well, so what kind of genre should you have in your reel? First off, I want to say the stuff that you're good at. Do not put characters that you're bad at because someone said, "Oh, I need to have this specific genre," and you don't do that genre. Don't put it on your reel, right? You want to be able to showcase yourself as best you can in a minute to 90 seconds or around 90 seconds. So putting your best foot forward in that sense. I don't think you need this, you need that, you need this. But I do want you to show as much range as you have. Making sure you have good vocal separation. Make sure that you're not putting two characters that sound too similarly right next to each other. Because then I'll think, oh, did they just fall out of character? Or is this an entirely different character? Mm. I think those are that's the main thing. Oh, I know the good one. A lot of times people say, and I keep bringing up Mickey Mouse, but they say, oh, I do a great Mickey Mouse voice. If you were going to submit your demo, to Disney.
Late. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm saying if you're going to do it, like with Mickey Mouse on there, you want to make sure you have a darn good Mickey Mouse impression because, we've heard it a lot. The same with a lot of the classic characters. We're very familiar with that voice. So that's a quick way to be like, that is not a good impression, and to rule that person out.
Right.
Yeah. So characters and personalities that you excel at, and sound-alikes and stuff like that that you're really good at.
Yeah. We've had Bill Farmer on the show.
Amazing.
Great talent.
Yes.
And a fun guy to be around. And Debbie Derryberry. Yeah, some of the great animation voices. They're just such talented people, but they've been at it a long time.
Yeah.
And they had to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So there's got to be a new generation of talent that's coming up behind them.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure you're looking forward to seeing and hearing their demos and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of actors obviously out there, and I am trying to meet the unrealistic goal of meeting everyone and seeing everyone and hearing what they can do. I mean, I think a good casting director is always out there scouting, going to comedy clubs, going to watch TV shows, movies, seeing everything, watching the competitors' cartoons, seeing who's on there. I get a lot of joy out of casting someone in their very first role or discovering someone. Like that's always, that's a feather in a casting director's hat is, oh, I got to, I pulled them out of something. Nowhere. They're performing somewhere. I don't know. They weren't on the streets. But giving someone their first job is very exciting. And I do like to do that. And I think there is a bunch of new talent coming up and new ways of doing it. A lot of executive producers and writers and stuff are now wearing multiple hats and, voicing some new characters and things like that as well. So, it's exciting.
So if someone wanted to get a hold of you because they want to learn what you can teach them, how can one get a hold of you?
Through my website, I think would be the best way.
Okay.
Which is just the www.sarahjanesherman.com, just posted right there below my face.
This is also an audio podcast, so some people never see
okay,
us.
Okay, sorry, then I'll say it better. www.sarahjanesherman.com.
Thank you.
There you go.
It's easy to forget that because we're all on cameras here, but there's even more listeners to the show than there are viewers, believe it or not.
Oh, very good.
So they're going to get an earful with this one. Well, Sarah Jane, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Yes. Thank you for having me. So great.
That was great. It was very informative. All right. George and I will be right back to wrap things up right after this.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years? And your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records? And you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running? And the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon? And the scripts seem a bit dated too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King? Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AntlandProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world. You'll never give up, never give up, never give up that dream.
You know, wherever you are in your voiceover career, from I don't know to working pro, there's always that next question that needs answering about where you're stuck, what to do next, about tech or technique. Well, come get your next question answered this Wednesday at the VO Dojo's monthly free live voiceover Q&A webinar. Ask the Sensei. I'll be there. Yes, me, Dan Leonard. It's exciting to be joining the VO Dojo's Master Sensei, Tish Hicks, as the VO Dojo's Techno Sensei on these monthly Ask the Sensei calls. Join us for this free Pull No Punches webinar this Wednesday, August 2nd at 10 a.m. Pacific. Go to www.thevodojo.com to sign up. It's the best way to improve your voiceover career. So I'm going to be joining them. The VO Dojo.
Congratulations.
I am their techno sensei.
I love it.
The tech K-N-O-W.
That's too many plays and words. Words and ones.
I know. Tish likes to write them that way. But what am I going to do? So lots of exciting stuff happening. Great, great information from Sarah Jane Sherman.
Yeah, absolutely.
On how to, the animation business, it's big, you know, and people want to get into it. Everybody's got a funny voice.
Just look at Netflix sometimes. I mean, Ella loves Netflix. We're on there constantly. The number of new shows on Netflix that I've never heard of, and a million, I know I'm not looking out for children's programming,
right.
But I mean, the amount of new programming on Netflix alone for children is mind-boggling.
I know. The amount of stuff that's on Netflix. I mean, Netflix. I was flipping through stuff last night. Marcy went off for a half an hour to take a shower. She came back. I'm still flipping. You haven't picked a movie yet?
That's one of the big... I mean, I love Netflix, but it's one of the biggest problems with Netflix is too many options.
All right.
But yeah, there's a lot on there, a lot of animation.
Okay. Next week, on this very show, Karen Saltis and her mobile studio via Zoom. Is she like a vagabond that is just traveling the roads of America doing voiceover?
I mean,
like Charles Kowal?
We're going to find out next week the details, but my understanding is she just doesn't want to be tied down. So she moves a lot. She moves around from time to time.
Yeah. It would be fun to just be actually there with her, but we'll get her on Zoom. We'll get a tour of her trailer.
I hope so. I want to see
her RV or however she's doing it. On August 14th, Jeffrey Umberger, voiceover agent with the Umberger Agency in Atlanta. Big, non-exclusive agent, takes only the best people. So that'll be interesting. And then on August 21st.
This is the one you're excited about.
Oh, I am. Phil Proctor will be here. If you're familiar with Firesign Theater from back in the 70s, for those of you that were alive back then, which probably isn't as many as that were
I
not.
I think I heard it on cassette.
On cassette,
I believe I did.
On vinyl.
Even vinyl, a cassette of vinyl.
I guess, somebody dubbed it onto a cassette. Yeah. Phil Proctor's going to be here. Firesign Theater was audio sketch comedy back in the 70s. It was the height of that art form, and he was one of the principals with that. And I am real excited to to announce that he will be on our show.
Fantastic.
That's one you don't want to miss as well. Let's see. We need to thank our donors of the week.
Yes, we have a donation from Eric Aragoni. Thank you, Eric, every single week. Don Griffith, Martha Kahn, Shanna Pennington Baird. She's not a pen. I always think of Paddington Bear when I see her last name.
Pennington Baird. I'm sure she gets that all the time.
Antland Productions, Greg Thomas. Thanks, Greg. Michael Martin, Diana Birdsall, Tracy H. Reynolds, and Patty Gibbons.
All right.
Some of the donations since last week.
Yes, they are. Opening voiceover provided to us by the amazing John Taylor, who we have not seen in a month of Sundays.
He moved kind of far east.
He's like in Palm Springs.
One of those Palms areas.
Yeah.
Good for you, John.
We miss him, although I was talking to him last week.
Oh, good.
And he says, I'm not coming up there anytime soon. we're going to do a new opening. We keep saying that, but we've actually scheduled the time.
We did.
With a videographer to make that happen.
We're going to do it.
Alrighty.
What's going on at Edge Studio, you're about to ask me?
I was about to ask that.
And I was about to go look and see what the heck's going on at my company. What's going on at EdgeStudioTechnology.com? I'd say one of the most useful things that I'm doing right now is offering tech support on a flat rate. So, you know, we offer tech support in a lot of ways. You can do it by the 15 minutes chunk, or you can do it by the hour, or you can do it by the service, like a stack or a mic check, Or if you just have a tech issue and you want to get it sorted out, you don't know, do I need 15 minutes? Do I need an hour? What's it going to take?
I got a hum.
Yeah, you can book services and just get a support ticket and get support that way. You can get to it from the website. Click on Working Voice Actor, any of the menus at the top of the page, and you can get from help from the HISS, Home Studio Support Squad.
Oh, who came up with that one?
We worked on that one really hard.
That was probably a long committee meeting, I'm sure.
And for $79 and up, because you can get a faster turnaround time at higher prices, we'll stick with it till the problem is solved.
That's cool.
It's one of those kind of things.
Right. And I'm available if you also need some home studio advice.
Yes, we forgot
advice.
To plug our own services,
well,
Dan.
Well, we're doing it now.
Yes, Dan. How do they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me at homevoiceoverstudio.com or dan@danleonard.com. And I have all sorts of ways you can get a hold of me. And, of course, you can drop off a specimen in my specimen collection cup of your audio, and we'll do a free analysis.
Free.
Yeah. Consultation, not free. But anyway, show logs. You can access the show logs from the VOBS website, which is in the upper right corner of our page.
Yep.
I'm pointing
There's a button
to it
up there for it.
And Jack's still writing all that stuff down.
Thanks, Jack.
And we really appreciate that. Let's see here. The podcast. Where can one get our podcast?
Well, if you're not already listening to the show as a podcast, and you'd prefer to listen to a show that's this long in a podcast.
Works better in your car when you're driving to Bakersfield or something.
If you spend time in the car driving to auditions, whatever it is you're doing in the car or doing the dishes, you can listen to us on Stitcher Radio, iTunes. Just type into any pod listening program, VOBS. You should be able to find us.
All right. Now, we also have a survey.
Yes,
that is on our website. Take the survey so we can get what you guys want on the show. I mean, we've been doing this for 6.5 years.
Yeah.
We still haven't run out of stuff to talk about because you guys keep giving us some great ideas, and we want to hear them. So take the survey. Tell us what you think of the show and how we can improve it.
You want to be
if
in
such
the studio?
As possible.
Yes, exactly. Want to be in right in this here in the studio with Ella and all of our friends?
Let's get that studio shot there.
Hey,
all
Ella,
right.
Ella, stand up and say hi. Turn around. Hey.
Yeah,
there's your camera.
No, that can.
That's there. Man. There's your 15 seconds. All right, sit down.
All right, man. That was only 5. You owe me 10 seconds.
Sorry, I owe you 10.
All right.
If you want to be in the studio with everybody else tonight, the guys just email us theguys@vobs.tv. Just put an audience in the subject. We'll know you want to be here,
right. And
we'll make sure. You're allowed.
If you happen to be in the greater Los Angeles area, we don't want you flying in just to be here like John Keeney. Let's see here. Although we loved having you.
Sure, there. Of course.
We need to thank our sponsors, of course. Vizzy Video Demos.
Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VO2GoGo Camera Ready You and Rehearsal App.
That's right. Antland's Killer Demos.
The VO Dojo, where I've just joined.
And VoiceOver View for providing an uninterrupted live stream and bandwidth.
It was
thank you, everybody.
All righty. Thanks to Marcy, who dropped by tonight to say hi while
Marcy.
We were doing this show.
Catherine Curtin, our producer, who helps cast the show. She
right.
does cast the
she
show.
She does. She gets these great guests like Sarah Jane Sherman.
So thank you.
Some of these other folks. Anthony Gettig and Jack Daniel, who joins us every week with computer and beer in hand to help us with the chat room. Our amazing floor producer, Andrew Bushwitz, for another amazing job.
Yes.
It's like... it's effortless with him.
The amazing TD.
Yes, exactly. And Jack DeGoli for the show notes and our good friend Lee Pinney simply for being Lee Pinney. All right, that's going to do it for us this week on Voice Over Body Shop. Thanks so much for joining us. Our thanks again to Sarah Jane Sherman. And I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is Voice Over
Body Shop.
Or VOBS.
Yes.
Have a great week, everybody. Work hard out there.
Good night.
Are we at minus 4 dB? We're at minus 4 dB on VOBS.